From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the forum for the fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the forum for the fans of the Bleed Blue Show, the Dugout Podcast, All Rival 2 episode. Another weekend series versus the Boston Red Sox. We're going to talk about that. And I am not going to apologize to some Yankee fans on Twitter and social media over the weekend for the things I said halfway through the Red Sox series. I said after the game on Friday that the Yankee season is over. It's almost just a dying, slow bled death right now. And I stand by that. And the reason I stand by that, regardless of the wild card situation, although we have young players who've shown a little bit of promise in the small sample size of games, I just don't think it's enough to overcome the teams ahead of us, even in the wild card situation. So let's go back to some of these games and get some of these guys on, and we can talk about it. Because if ever was a game that we have seen over and over again this season, was the game on Sunday. And up 4-0, Herman has the no-hitter going. We all try to not jinx it, but of course Michael K can't shut his big mouth about it. He jinxed the shit. So, okay, Herman gets up the no-no. Yankees were up 4-0. And I said, okay, what is Boone going to do? I think he should have leave him in there as far as giving up the double, the Verdugo. But, of course, Boone, and this is the same shit Yankee fans get on Joe Girardi about, is, oh, he's got a quick hook. They called him Captain Hook. And Aaron Boone does nothing different and takes him out. Pitched his best game in years, Domingo Germán. His best game in years. And he only had 93 pitches up until that point. Even with that said, let me even go back before we continue on with Germán. You got to even go back to the top of the seventh inning. That's where I really thought we lost this game, because there's a Yankee fan that's kind of close to this show. Doesn't come on to the show, but listens. And I communicated with that Yankee fan. I said, this game got Yankee collapse written all over it. And this is even before the what happened in the top of the seventh inning. You're up 4-0. DJ LeMahieu gets the walk. You had Gio Urshela at third. Gray Allen goes to second. Giancarlo Stanton comes to the plate, and guess what? He looks god-awful at the plate. Strikes out, then Odor flies out the right. At that point, up 4-0, top, yeah, your bases loaded with one out. That's when the Yankees didn't put the pressure on the Red Sox and blew it. Okay, now we can continue. We're going back to Domingo Germán and what happened with Boone. Boone opts to go with Jonathan Loaisiga. I said, this is a bad move. This you should have rolled the hot hand when you had it. Just no different than Gerrit Cole when he was in Houston. No different. You should have just rolled the hot hand. He only had 93 pitches. Verdugo gets the double. All right, cool, whatever. Then Loaisiga comes into the game. Renfro gets the double. And then after that, Vasquez gets the single. Then Cordero gets the single. And then Hernandez gets the double. It was manufacturing of the runs of the base pads by the Boston Red Sox that put too much pressure. Loaisiga just collapsed mentally. He just looks fragile. Zach Britton comes on. He gets the fielder's choice. But the game was lost at that point because the runs scored. The Red Sox take the lead. This is a poorly managed game by Aaron Boone, or we could say it was a poorly managed game by analytics. So whoever is operating above Aaron Boone, because that's what I think it really is, because this is the reason why I said what I said about a month ago, why Brian Cashman came out with the statement as far as, apologizing for the poor play. And he took all the blame, and I think all this does come back to him. This is actually more on him than anything. Aaron Boone is just a puppet. He's just the figurehead of all this. Now, I need to hear from him specifically, Aaron Boone, saying that was 100% my call, for me to say that it came from him. But today's baseball, a lot of it is not necessarily coming from the manager. This is really coming from above Aaron Boone. He's just the puppet head. But the crazy thing, how I look at this situation, is this is no different than Girardi, how Yankee fans got on Joe Girardi. all those years as far as taking guys quickly out of the game. Domingo Germán had it going. That was, he had his best stuff in a couple of years, easily. And it almost looked like the game in 99 when Mike Mussina had the perfect game going, and he ended up getting up the hit to Carl Everett. And I think that was in 1999. This game had the similar situation. I think even the pass ball kind of, you know, there was a little miscommunication between him and Gary Sanchez. The pass ball may have had a little interruption on the floor of that game. But the domino effect, to me, was really when you had a bases-loaded situation in the seventh and you fucked it up, Giancarlo Stanton, and then the flyout to Odor. This is where the Yankees are not as strong as the other teams in the AL because the amount of money you're putting into this particular player and you're not getting the dividends out of it. All right, Jimmy, say hello to the people. We'll bring you on. How you doing, Jimmy? How's everything? Just say hello real quick. Just say hello. Quick hello. We'll get
Hey, good, man. Good, man. Let's go Yankees. Let's talk about this, man. It's crazy.
yeah, right. And we have a huge series versus Tampa. I already said the season's over, but maybe you could convince me wrong. Carl, what's up, man? How you doing, man? We'll talk about it. How's everything, man?
Hey, pleasant good evening, Steve. Interesting night to have the show based on what's happened the last couple of days.
Yeah. They should have won. Three out of four would have been the minimum for me. Sweep was asking for too much, but they needed a sweep. Division's way out of – division's just gone. I'm not even a believer in the wild card, Carl. But, Jimmy, let's go to you, man. What was your thoughts as far as Germán, but also the decision to take him out of the game with only 93 pitches? And he looked good out there. And if you go to Facebook and Twitter yesterday during the game, Yankee fans rightfully so were hot. And can't blame them. And to my friend, to the person who listens to the baseball episode, I told you so that we were going to lose that game. And this was even before the strikeout of Stanton. Man, this has Yankee collapse written all over. Because we've seen this many a times this season. Go ahead, Jimmy. What was your thoughts on the Germán situation?
Yeah, I mean, it was just crazy. I looked at the pitch count, and I'm like, why do you take this guy out? You've seen guys in other games that have, you know, not specifically our games, but you know, games around the week where it was like 100 and something, where guys go 100 and something pitches and they're doing good. 93 to me is like nothing, you know. And not only that, but you got your rhythm going. You know, this was the best. I mean, I know Ramon's been up and down this year. We can say what we want about that. But this was the best. This was the best Ramon has looked this year alone. You know, he's giving you a chance in the game, and then you pull him. Then you pull him, and you put a Wiser in there. That just takes your confidence right out the window. Like I just didn't understand that. That was like the worst decision that Boone could have ever made. I think he cost us the division and the season with that game. It's like that just showed like I don't give a damn anymore. What other reason would you do that? You know, unless you had some plan drawn up that you thought Elijah was going to do something good, but to me it looked like I don't give a damn move. You know, that's just what I'm saying, man.
One more thing. Let me go before we go to Carl. Let me even add this on, because we have to consider this into the equation. Is the game on Friday? You were up 3-1. And Chad Green, again, another meltdown in the ninth. You know, like the Verdugo single, right? And then Dalbec gets his single. And then when the pinch hitters came, Pulaski and Duan, when they got their hits, and then he gives up the two runs in the ninth. The Yankees had that game. Like, I mean, I know Carl could attest to this because we talked about this from the Houston game. At Houston, these were two crucial rival games, and in the bullpen, you know, Chad Green. That's the point I'm trying to make, Jimmy. You saw Domingo Germán rolling. You seen the bullpen's been iffy, and you saw the situation with Gerrit Cole where he shook Boone off. Like, it's like if Domingo Germán, did he not have – he didn't have the clout, I guess, like Gerrit Cole to say, boom, no, I got this? Because – I think that kind of comes – it comes down to a respect factor because Boone could probably pull that against a Domingo Germán that he couldn't do against a Gerrit Cole as far as leaving him in. What's your thoughts as far as that? Because this is all carryover from the Friday game, and that was a domino effect before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I mean, it just goes to show you that Germán doesn't have the – I guess Germán doesn't have the guts to do, like, what Cole did, you know. You know, because, like, I really liked that when Cole, you know, when Cole shook him off and said, I got it. Because, like, he showed, like, hey, you know, I'm ready to do this and I could do this. I mean, I guess Germán just doesn't have that same level of respect for Boone, you know, which is the same because, like, one of the keys of being a good player is not only athletically you have to be good, but you have to. One of the other things is that you have to have respect for your manager and you have to have confidence in yourself. You know, if you think you could do this and you're rolling, you go and do it. But if you're just gonna let them pull you out, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's a lack of respect, in my opinion. I think he should have said something. I would if I was him.
Right. Hey, Carl, there's a lot going on with this series in Boston. It's almost like theater. It's almost like scripted wrestling. Meaning, like some of these things, the moves that happened should not have happened. The Yankees, at worst, should have came out of Boston with a split based off a couple of how the games went, the way it flowed. But if you saw the games, what were your thoughts specifically, especially Friday and Sunday? Germán, great performance. He arguably has one of the most best stuff on the roster. It's just Cole's the better power pitcher, but Germán has a more arsenal of pitches. And when he's going, he's good. But that was the decision by Boone. What was your thoughts on that? And your thoughts as far as the bullpen and the late comebacks by the Red Sox, man. And your thoughts as far as wild card for this team.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here. Some of it I'm going to have to probably push back on based on some of the stuff I've heard. But let's start with the game on Thursday. That was the game in which Green blew the game in the ninth, and then I believe they took the lead, and then they end up giving the lead back when Krisky was in the game to throw the game, and basically was throwing wild pitches all over the place. So now I don't know what is going on with some of the fans this season, but there was an idea, I guess, that was being promoted that Luis Sessa should have closed the game in the ninth inning on Thursday. To my knowledge, Sessa has not closed a game of any type in that type of spot ever. And I know he threw the five pitches in the eighth inning, but the second guessing on that decision, I just find very curious by a portion of the fan. So I'm going to start with that. The Friday game, listen, Cole, you know, they were Cole to the point where he had to leave the game after five innings. You lose the game. All right, things happen. Saturday, they steal that game. Hey, it was good for them. The Germán thing.
Right, okay. Good.
So I'm looking here on my list. You had three options, maybe four, but let's just say three options. Option A, you could have pulled him before the start of the eighth inning. Well, clearly nobody was for that. Option B, you can go hitter to hitter. If the pitch count goes up or go, you know, depending on the hitter, then you can make a decision. Option C, pull him after giving up a hit. And I think most people were kind of in that sort of range because when Germán started the inning, he had 90 pitches. No, I don't think anybody was considering him pitching a complete game at that point. And after the game, the Boone mentioned that he had him going for about 80 pitches, and I had to match that up with his past log of outings. And I'm looking at it here. His last eight outings, 70, 17, 34, 47, 72, 72, and 66. And a portion of this here were games that he didn't even start because he was pulled out of the rotation for poor performance. So I'll take that into account as this is going. So at that exact moment when he gives up the hit, Herman has no clout whatsoever to be like, hey, you're not taking me out of this game. He has no track record of success to suggest that he should stay in the game batter to batter. What? No. So at that point, once he gave up the hit, I figured, okay, that's it. Good game. Have a seat. You're up 4-0. If you can't close that game out, I'm sorry. There's nothing else you could do. The problem is, and this is what happens when you have a bad bullpen, all decisions then become looked at as bad because Loaisiga pitched very well the day before. Unfortunately, he got a little bit more extended, I think because he had to pitch to two additional batters after looking dominant in the first two hitters that he faced on that Saturday. So unfortunately, he comes into the game, and the Red Sox just hit him. And then unfortunately, they hit him so fast that the Yankees did not have a backup plan in that event. But if you're trusting one of your good relievers, you are expecting performance. You don't know that the guy is going to get crushed to the extent that it was. And so, unfortunately, those are the results. Now, the problem is, and I think the one issue you would have, and perhaps this could have worked, is allowing Herman to stay in the game after giving up a hit and simply taking your chances. Now, the issue with that option right there is that what does that mean, taking your chances? Because, okay, if he gives up another hit, then do you bring in the reliever with two men on base or the game at 4-1 and then hope for the best, or do you just keep riding him out? So you've got three things here. You've got the pitch count that – because he hasn't been stretched out at any point basically in the last 7 weeks. You have the team that he's facing, and then you have the position you're going to be putting the relief pitcher in if you decide you want to just ride this out until some additional point. And mind you, if you're going to ride that out, just know that the person you bring in has to pitch to a minimum of three batters. So with all that in play, I think the safe option in that case is to pull him after he gives up the hit. Go to your – because at that point, who else are you going to bring in? You're going to bring in Britton? No. You're going to bring in Green? Well, you can maybe wait for the ninth inning. Chapman already pitched the day before. The guys just have to do the job. And if they don't do the job, it's easy to then say, well, the manager doesn't care. I don't know what the basis of that is. But listen, unfortunately, the team has built a team where the bullpen is supposed to be the most stable part of the team. Unfortunately, that has not been the case for about a good 6 or 7 week period now, whether it's the game in Minnesota, the game against the Mets, the game against the Angels, and the Red Sox games. Hey, if your best relievers are going to be this, then unfortunately you're going to have situations where bad results are going to happen and losses are going to happen.
All fair points. But this is the only thing I will say to everything you said. I agree with most of that based off the framework of what the Yankees are designed to be in a perfect world on, okay, if we get to this point, we're going to go to this guy out of the bullpen and a regular rotation, you know, your Loaisigas, Luques, and you could go to your Chad Greens, and then when Britton's around and Chapman, that's kind of normally the order. The only thing I'm going to push back on, and it's basically based off feel, but I know this is more about this is what the analytics say on the Yankee notebook and how they're going to operate things at this certain point, at this certain point in the game. I just think in this particular game is no different or similar to how we saw, especially you, Gerrit Cole in Houston. See, it's one thing if Domingo Herman was showing a little bit of you know, he had an okay outing, you know, he got to this point, or even not, let's say not even seven innings, let's say five innings, and he gave up more hits, not as many strikeouts. This particular game, to me, he had it going on. He had a great flow. He kept guys off balance with, you know, off the plate. He had it going on to the point where I just think you could just almost look at it at the situation as Gerrit Cole. In that game in Houston, I know what the analytics say. I know at this point we're going to take me out, but no, we need this more than what the notebook is saying. And I think Jimmy and Yukar are right. And I think that's where Boone, you know, looks at Domingo Germán. You're not Gerrit Cole. You know, we're going to stick to the plan. Versus old school baseball, and this is where Susie Prowl comes in from what she said last week. You know, if this was Goose Gossage, if this was Ron Guidry, you know, old school cat, you know, you're staying in the game. It's a different game. And this is where sometimes I wish you take away from what you think is the plan and go with the hot hand. And I think I'm willing to go against the way Germán was pitching at that point and at the bottom of the lineup at that point in the seventh inning. I would have taken my chances with Germán. Despite the poor performances prior to Houston, Boston, earlier in the month. You know, he had a bad July. He actually looked very good, you know, all the way up until that point. And that's just the pitching part of it. There's always a flip side of it. And I want to go back to you, Jimmy, when I say that. And I said it at the top, like, there's a flip side to this. You know, 4-0 is a comfortable lead. I mean, even today's MLB, I mean, you know, you could rally some runs. But the Yankees had opportunities to add on runs, especially with one out, like I said, with Giancarlo Stanton. He looked terrible at that plate. And then Odor had to fly out. What was your thoughts as far as that? Like, you know, you didn't get the extra run. You didn't even get a sacrifice fly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have made a 4-0. 4-0 versus 5-0 could be a huge difference in everything. What was your thoughts on that, Jimmy, as far as the how what happened at the top of the seventh?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was crazy. I mean, yeah, you know, an insurance run in that situation would have made a big difference. I think it would have. I mean, I think a little bit. I'm just saying a little bit. It might have changed Boone's decision. But, you know, who knows? I mean, when you're up four to five is a big deal. So you know, maybe I think at that point maybe Boone would have said, hypothetically, I think if we were up 5-0, I really think Boone would have said, hey, let's let Germán stay in there. But I think because the game was so close, maybe he just had another plan that didn't work. You know, we'll never know. But it goes back to another problem with this team is that, you know, we can't get insurance runs when we need them, and the makeup of any good baseball team, in my opinion anyway, any good baseball team is you have to be able to manufacture insurance runs, you know, because you never know when you're going to need them, you never know when you're going to need them, so you got to be able to do that. And I feel like the Yankees sometimes they do it well and sometimes they don't. But the problem is they only do it well against teams that are not in our division, you know, like Marlins or Phillies or anybody that's out of our division, we do it. But anybody that's in our division, we can't do it. And that's our problem, Steve, I think.
Okay. What about the office, Carl? As far as what you saw in the game on Sunday, they generate runs, man. That crucial, I think, part of the game. What, anything else you'd like to add from the offensive side of things?
Well, listen, I mean, if they couldn't get runs against Perez, I mean, who else are we going to get runs against? He has been terrible since the sticky stuff controversy came about. So, you know, the fact that they scratched off some runs. It's dry right there. The fact that they got some runs off him, you know, that was good. I thought the one aspect of the game, as you guys were talking about, that should have told everybody everything that they needed to know about the current state of the Yankees was when the Red Sox decided in that seventh inning with the bases loaded to bring in a left-handed pitcher to pitch to Giancarlo Stanton, which in a past life considered absolute, like, you know, insanity. But all the data indicates this season, and I think last season as well, that Stanton against left-handed pitching has been terrible. And so the Red Sox were like, you know what? We're going to take our shot with this. And you know what? They were exactly correct, because some of those, between the swings he had in that at-bat, I don't know if it was the day before. Or was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday when he was swinging at pitches that were like 10 feet before the plate. Like, you know, that has to be, you know, addressed, because some of the offensive woes that the team had would not necessarily be offensive woes if the person that has been paid to carry the – well, I don't know about carry the lineup, but at least in this particular case, this Judge is out, and Urshela as well. You know, the fact that Stanton does not provide day-to-day quality at bat, you know, and production. You know, it seems like we're just waiting on the, you know, 5 or 10-game stretch where he hit 6 home runs or whatever. And unfortunately – that hasn't happened very often to the point where that is reliable. You know, we're just looking for quality at bat leading, you know, to help the order. But unfortunately, because that is such a hole right now, everything is magnified. And because things are so magnified, if the Yankees do not, you know, push ahead that, you know, insurance run here or tack on there, the game is put in such a tight margin, you know, where the margin of error is so slim that any failure like that becomes magnified when you then blow the game later on.
Yeah. And give credit for the comeback on Saturday. I thought they were done, man. In that 8th inning, you know, the Florial double, and then Gardner had the single after a couple of outs. You know, Ottavino's been bad for them. And then we were able to kind of, you know, he's been out of his zone. And then the Yankees got a little lucky with some of those bloop singles, bloop hits. You know, Odor had, the double. Stanton, you know, we were just, you know, getting on him. But at least he got the ground rule double to right field in that situation. I was actually shocked that they came back. But with that said, man, you lost ground versus Boston in the standings. You got 3 more games, Tampa Bay, which is, you know, you're 3.5 behind them. And, you know, Montgomery's pitching tomorrow, I believe. I know Cole's in there, and I'm not sure if Cortez is going to pitch. I'm not confident, honestly, Jimmy. I don't know where you stand on that. And then here's the crazy thing, Jimmy. I was looking at the stats earlier today. You know, the Rays are better than the Yankees as far as hitting, runs per game, and as well as home runs, they're right behind the Yankees. The Tampa Bay Rays, you know, like we always talk about, you know, the type of lineups that we have and, you know, what it should be on paper. And the Tampa Bay Rays statistically are right neck and neck, if not better in many categories than the Yankees, and with a significantly less payroll, man. Jimmy, what are you looking at as far as – matter of fact, Jimmy, I'll just put it out there. Is the season over? Do you think this the wild card – the division is over, but do you think the division is not over? And then also, if it's not over, what about the wild card? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm only going off of what I've seen right now. And what I've seen right now, if we don't get our butt together right now, it's definitely over, because, like, what we have to do is we're in a situation where we gotta take at least 2 out of 3 from the Rays, which is gonna be really tough. Yeah, we got interleague games, you know, against the Marlins and all that. But the thing I'm saying is, if we want to win games, we have to be able to do it against teams in our division, because, like, all the little things like Marlins and things like that, yeah, those are nice wins on paper, but they do squat as far as division standings go. And, you know, this ain't April or May anymore. We could say, like, okay, you know, we lose a series or two against, you know, Boston or Tampa or Toronto, and say, like, oh, it's all right, you know, we're past the it's all right stage now. Now we're in a critical thing. We're like, for what they've shown me right now, I don't think they can do it. I mean, I want to see them do it, of course, as a fan, but I just don't think so.
Didn't they just beat the Cleveland Guardians 3 out of 4 over the weekend? You know, the new team name for the Indians, or the Guardians. Yeah, I mean, they played well in July, Tampa Bay, from what I remember. I know they beat up on the Orioles. I think they had 1-2 out of 3 versus the Braves, and I think they had a series versus the Jays before that. They, you know, they're a tough out, man. You got to play very sound baseball. They're a very pesky, sound baseball team, and defensively, we could be very, very sloppy, and I don't, you know, I mean, we played in them enough games to know how we match. I'm not confident, honestly. I know we had that one series we went to Tampa the second time, and we won the series, but I think that was an anomaly, man. And then, Carl, what's your thoughts as far as, okay, division's out in the case, right, or no? And then if it's not, what about the wild card? Is it over for you, or what's your thoughts heading into Tampa?
I mean, the division's been out for weeks. I think the last time I was on this program, I mentioned that. As we talk, okay, you know, the wild card, I think the number I gave you guys a couple of weeks ago when I was on the program was, I think they had the one, I believe it was like 88 games to be in a position where it would be positioned for the wild card, because I think Oakland, let me take a look at the standings. Give me about 10 seconds here. Let me look at the standings here because I think Oakland is still in that position. Let me take a look here. Wild card. Okay, yeah, Oakland, yeah, right. Right now, so, yeah, Oakland is 56 wins. That translates to about 88 wins, 88 to anywhere between 88 and 90 victories. Now, if you think the Yankees are going to win 90 games, then that would mean that the record that they would have to is 39 and 25 is what the Yankees would have to do that. They've shown very little indication that they are going to be doing anything like that based on their current performance this season. They played 98 games and they're 4 games over 500. So they basically, you know, I think we have enough sample size to draw a conclusion as to what is going on here. And I think what's happened is that there is a portion of the fan base that is just holding out hope continuously until they can't do so anymore, when we've had, I think, enough evidence now to suggest that this team, as constructed, the way it has played, whether it's been poor offensive performance, whether it's been up and down starting pitching, whether it has been relief pitching failures, at some point between those three things, there's always been one particular aspect of this team, of those three, that has gone wrong at some point. If the pitching if the starting pitching is doing well, then the bullpen lets them down. If the bullpen's doing well, the starting pitching lets them down. If they get both of those things correctly, then all of a sudden the hitting can't hit. And unfortunately, the other thing too, you know, the hitting, the idea was that, oh, the sticky stuff would make the offense hit better. Well, I don't know. I'd have to take a look now and see what the game since June, what has really happened. I don't think the offense has really done all that much differently than they were doing before this. So, do I think they have a chance to play one, you know, sneak in and get that 88 to 90 wins? I don't see that happening at all. I think that's problematic. I think what they'll try to do is they'll probably try to tease you into thinking that they can make as sort of been promoted, that, you know, they'll make a quote-unquote run. That run might take you past Labor Day. It might take you to maybe the third week of September. But by that point, you're going to be looking up at the scoreboard basically every night and hoping that other teams lose, because the Yankees will not be able to control themselves, control their own fate in any real way. And that's unfortunate. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it happens in one of those years where just things happen. Yeah. Oh, look right here. Yeah, the Yankees plus run differentials plus 5. They're right about where they should be right now. And that would indicate that basically over the course of the season, they're going to be about 83 and 79. I don't see any way around this unless there's this belief that the first 98 games have been a fluke and that the next 64 are going to provide, you know, some higher level of performance that we just haven't seen so far since, you know, late March or early April. And I someone would have to explain to me where they're getting that from.
All right. Shout outs to Carl on that. And Jimmy, let's get final thoughts from you, man. Tampa Bay, series coming up. There's actually next couple series in Florida versus the Marlins as well. Your final thoughts, Jimmy? That series versus Boston, I mean, if there ever was that took the rest of the helium out of the balloon for me, it was that series, man. I was, you know, I didn't think they were going to win the series anyway, but to see that they had a chance to at least split it, man, that was deflated, Jimmy. Your final thoughts as well, and then we'll get Carl's thoughts as well.
That was the one for me. So I say I'm hoping that we do something, but you know, I just don't see it, man. You know, let's just enjoy the games, enjoy the Yankee baseball that we have left, and enjoy coming on here and talking baseball, because you know the way we look right now, we're not gonna have extended episodes of this stuff. So right now I'm just thankful to be with you guys right now, man. Because I don't know, man, Steve. I would love for us to have an extended thing, but right now I just don't see it, man. Go Yankees all day, though.
I understand why you said that. I get it, man. Hey, man. Well, I mean, you can always talk about, you know, other teams and stuff like that within baseball. But shout out to you, Jimmy, at Kings Eagle One, man. At the C Notes, Carl, man, your final thoughts, man. To hear from you, man, you said the season is over. I mean, you know your stats, you know your data. So if you said it's over, we're just watching the wind blow at this point. Your final thoughts, and then we're out, man.
That's one good way to put it, you know. As we say goodbye, I know there is a lot of, consternation would probably be the word I'll use here, among the fans about Aaron Boone and whether or not, you know, he should be retained for the future or whatnot. And it seems like a lot of the fans are putting blame on him for the results of what's gone on this season. And I thought about this last night. You know, blaming the manager presupposes that the team as constructed is fine, nothing is wrong, and all that's happening is that just incorrect moves are costing them games. But as we've seen these 98 games play out, on top of the 60 that we saw last season, we have seen a team that is slow, not athletic, inflexible, starting pitching built on hope, and a lineup with no counter for when home runs aren't hit. So if you take that into account, and then you also factor in that the current manager is getting paid about 70% less than the previous manager was getting paid, I can't then conclude that the manager that's getting paid that less has somehow the same amount of power. He's taking orders, as many of us believe. I thought that when he was hired,
right.
And he's simply carrying out orders. So if you are upset with the manager, I thought we as baseball fans have matured to know that managers that are getting paid less now these days than they ever have before are not getting the same amount of power to control the roster and the day-to-day decisions in-game and in the lineup. But for some strange reason, the fans have fixated themselves on Boone in a lot of the same way that they fixated themselves along with Girardi, right up until Girardi won a couple of playoff games and got them nearly one game away from the World Series. I find it very funny that we're now targeting Boone when the roster, as we have seen, is just, I mean, you know, it's like bubble gum. It's hanging, you know, there's not much going on here.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of what fans are accustomed to. They're accustomed to the skipper running the ship, and they think because he's in the dugout making these moves, they think face value is coming from him, where we've known from reports or we've known from even from the hierarchy that this is kind of ran from the front office. This is what they believe, what the nerds putting this all together with situations, running it by the team president, running it by Cashman, and it's coming from them. And this has all been by design. Boone's just the figurehead of it. He's not pulling the strings. So people could get mad at Boone unless Boone went against what they said they were doing in that notebook. I don't think that's the case. I think, like I said before, Cashman made a public statement about, 3 weeks ago when bad baseball or bad results were coming, and he took full ownership, and I think that's exactly where it should be. We'll be back next Monday and see what happens versus the Rays, versus the Marlins. Shout-outs to Jimmy and Carl, myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. I try to tell Yankee fans, man, that's why I'm partially not mad like I thought, because it looked like we were going to lose that game on Sunday. It looked too good to be true, man. And just to see the Red Sox rally like that, it looked like 0-4 all over again, man. It just very late in games. They did it over a couple games before that. Shout out to the guys, man. We'll be back on Monday, man. And hopefully we could get back. Hopefully, see, I say this optimistically, but I'm not happy. I'm not confident, man. Tampa, they're tough. They're very tough. We already know this. And for some reason, Yankee fans still don't respect Tampa. I don't understand that part. But nonetheless, we'll talk about it next Monday. All right, song of the race, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.